Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Venture Radio Program. Today is January 6, 2018, and we got a little bit of a challenge, but you know what? We're going to overcome it. We're simulcasting, I think. We're simulcasting on KMIL 105.1 FM here in Cameron and also in Rockdale at KRXT 98.5. Seems to be a tower problem here in Cameron, and hopefully we're streaming through the internet and KRXT is getting it to do a simulcast show. So we're going to keep going, and hopefully you're out there hearing us. If you can hear us, I'll tell you what, give us a call here, 254-697-6633. I need some Rockdellians to give me a call and let me know if you're hearing us over on KRXT. People here in Cameron, let me know if we're getting a stream over the internet. But 254-697-6633. Now, normally, if you look in the video, like last week, I'm holding up a empty cup of Fresh Joe from Hilltop Sefco. It's because we got broken pipes here in Cameron and they got a boil notice. So unfortunately, you can't get your fountain drinks or your coffee at Sefco until they clear that. But you can get your two hot dogs for $2 with the fresh smelly onions and the nice greasy hot dogs. It's going to be really good. Slap some mustard on it and you'll be good to go at the Hilltop Sefco here in Cameron. Now, Kenneth, if you're listening out there, buddy, I know you're listening. This is a shout-out to you. Hello. How's it going? Thanks for listening. Contact us at 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to aaronsgunshop.com and check out the website. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. Let's get those numbers up. There's a lot of fantastic information on the YouTube channel. Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, Super Attorney Rick Dodd. They've got some phenomenal information to give to you, and it's free. Okay, now let me tell you what's going on with the show today. We've got three true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. So let's learn what to do and what not to do from those real life experiences. In my License to Carry attorney segment, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson will set us straight on commonly mistaken expressions that can get you in a whole lot of trouble if you follow their advice. That'll be starting at around 10:20 or 10:15, 10:20. So check that out. My topic of interest segment is going to keep you up to date with all the upcoming events at Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventure. So get your calendars ready for that one. And right after that is Tactical Snacking with the delicious Janae Goodman. This week, Janae will be telling us things that can help you with the New Year's resolutions, such as saving money, eating better, and of course, losing weight. Woo! So check her out at right about 10:55. At 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the pontificator of practicality, the epitome of encyclopedia, the communicator of common sense, Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight brought to you by ANC Firearms is the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun, the Mossberg Shockwave, and Aguila Mini shotgun shells. I'll tell you how you can put all three of these to your advantage, and you can get all of these from ANC Firearms and Hide and Hammer. Call them now at 254-983-4417. I have a special guest, Susan Connolly, coming in today. She's a constant participator of the Round Robin events there at the Aaron's Gun Shop every second Friday of the month. She's an avid shooter. And she's going to come in and we're going to be talking to each other about how women can get involved with shooting and how it's beneficial for you to do so. So I can't wait for that interview. And finally, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, will show us more methods of self-defense and using me as practice target. So get ready, because this show is now in full swing, and we're going to start it with true stories from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. This is the most recent issue from January 2018. Happy New Year, by the way. And story number one reads as follows. Flashing a concealed gun was enough to help a woman escape the nefarious intentions of a stranger who followed her into her car after cutting her with a knife. While a woman was entering her car at a shopping center, the knife-wielding man assaulted her and forced his way into her vehicle. He climbed into the car beside her and ordered her to drive to a rural area in Illinois. I thought Illinois was supposed to be a safe spot with guns, right? What a joke. During the drive, the woman had to stop at an intersection. It gave her the opportunity to reach for her firearm, for which she had a carry permit. When the bad guy saw the gun, he jumped out of the car and fled on foot. The armed citizen drove herself to a hospital to get a knife wound treated and gave the police a solid account of the incident. Authorities later arrested the suspect and charged him with aggravated assault, aggravated battery, and unlawful use of a gun by a felon. He was being held on bond. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my expert commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, the woman was not paying attention to her surroundings. I see it all the time. Women shopping go to their cars with keys in one hand, arms full of stuff, all the while talking or texting on the phone. She was caught off guard. Fortunately, the woman had her wits about her and took advantage of a moment in time to get her gun and end the situation. So, be aware of your surroundings, especially in a parking lot. Story number two. Suspects might be able to run, but they can't always hide. Not when armed citizens are alert and on their guard. A man who was wanted in connection with a homicide in Pittsburgh found that out for himself one day, even though he had run to South Carolina. After fleeing Pennsylvania, the thug tried breaking into Myrtle Beach, South Carolina home where a 78-year-old woman lived. When the homeowner noticed a stranger was messing around with one of the windows, she called 911. She told the dispatcher that she had a gun and she wouldn't hesitate to use it if the trespasser broke in. Myrtle Beach police responded quickly and arrested the prowler before he gained entry. They found out later he was a person of interest in the killing of a University of Pittsburgh student. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, as an observation, I have noticed in stories like these and listening to 911 calls that police seem to move a little quicker when you say you have a gun and are not afraid to use it. Like I said, just an observation. But anyways, three cheers to the lady of the house for being aware and being armed. Story number three. Quick thinking kept a North Carolina woman safe during an abduction. The woman tricked her attacker into taking her to her home where her husband, who had access to a gun, was. The victim was working late one night and a man broke into the business establishment. The attacker, holding a sock with a pointed object in it, implied that he had a gun, manhandled the woman, and forced her into the car. Keeping her wits about her, the woman told the miscreant that she had cash at her home and said if he drove her there, he could have it. As the assailant held the woman in a chokehold and walked her into the house, her husband, who was inside, grabbed a gun and fired, scaring the aggressor off. The predator was later arrested and charged after he was found hiding in a nearby trailer. Authorities said the husband was within his rights to shoot. My commentaries on story number three. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you think it funny how the bad guy hides the so-called gun but doesn't hide his face? What does that tell you? He's most likely bluffing. Once again, just an observation. As for the woman, she must be a great actress, or this guy is a real knucklehead. I'll say it's knucklehead, but she did a great job leading the fly to the spider. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Three stories of self-defense, true stories of self-defense, out of the American Rifleman's Armed Citizens column. Learn from what they've done. What to do and what not to do in situations like that. Now, I've got a few minutes left. And of course, I know you're waiting. What's the expression? With bated breath? Is that it? In anticipation of what I'm going to say for this week's opinion piece? Well, here it is. You're going to like this. Rifles are not Christmas trees. Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen some rifles that if you were to put a string of lights on them, they would look like a Christmas tree. You hang ornaments on a Christmas tree, not a rifle. I've seen rifles with so much aftermarket crap on them that it's obvious the person who owns it has never or rarely has been out in the field to use it. If you just put a flashlight on a rifle, it's going to catch on to something. Just imagine having 10 things hanging from your rifle. If you consider your rifle like a fine painting and just want to look at it and admire it while it hangs up on the wall, then okay. Hang as much crap from it that will make you happy. But if you're going out into the field with it, then trim that tree. One ornament that is a must, however, is a flashlight. Due to the advancement in technologies, you can get an excellent light that is super bright yet still very small. You must be able to see what you're shooting. So if you don't have a thermal scope or a night vision, you need a flashlight. Now, I must admit that most of the Christmas trees I'm talking about are of the AR-15 variety. There can be so many Picatinny rails on that rifle that one may feel compelled to attach gadgets. Refrain from doing so. The only other true necessity for this rifle is some type of sighting system. Whether it's iron sights, flip-up sights, red dots, scopes, ACOGs, aim points, a rifle needs some way to aim it. So the owner gets to pick which sight system is best for them. After lights and sights, the rest is excess. The rifle needs to be light and tight. Light meaning weight and tight meaning slick. Slick. So if going through the bush, things like branches and vines will glance off the rifle and not get hooked on the rifle because you have so many things sticking out from it. So what are other things that can be stuck to a rifle? Things that weigh it down and make it a vine magnet. Well, here's a few. Vertical grips, lasers, magnifiers, bipods, offset sights, three-point slings. I hate those things. Double mag clamps, magazine bumpers, extended charging handles, extended and exotic muzzle brakes, and on and on and on and on. You're going out to kill something or stop someone. You're not going to a rifle beauty pageant. Okay, I'm being critical. I'm being critical to those who light up their rifles like Christmas trees, am I? No, I'm not. We've all been there in the beginning. I, however, am getting closer to the end of the road. And because of that, I wish to share with you what works and what doesn't from experience. I can save you a lot of money, too. So, ask yourself, what is the gun for? Once you figure it out, then dress it up for that purpose. Multi-purpose rifles can become heavy and bulky, and that's what you don't want. Keep the ornaments on the tree, not your rifle. Trey? Once again, buddy, perfect with the music. All right, we'll see you on the other side when we get back. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson is going to tell us all sorts of good stuff. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to AMC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap and Mitchell radio program. It's January 6, 2018, and I have a special request to you, the audience. Please do me this favor. Please, somebody from Rockdale, somebody from Cameron, give me a call. Let me know what's going on out there with the airwaves. Can you get me on internet? Can you get me off the radio? Both places, somebody call me. Do it now. Stop what you're doing. Dry your hands. Pick up the phone. Give me a call. Let me know what's going on out there. Ross, welcome to the show. We have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson with us today. And how you
cool
doing,
Ross? Too cool for school, man. Too cool for school.
We're starting off a new year. We had an awesome year last year with the whole crew here. Everything's going great. We're going to start it again in 2018. And here's the topic that I wanted to go over. I hear some people saying, oh, you know, these catchphrases like, if you shoot somebody, just drag them into the house. You know, cover yourself that way. So we've got a few of these types of scenarios here. And I wanted to talk about it because a lot of people, and some of the people who tell me who tells them this, and it scares me because some of those people are in positions of authority. And so they may be kidding around, but some people who don't understand that they're kidding around may do something stupid. So I'll give you an idea.
Go ahead.
I'm going to read this. I'll read you a few that I wrote down, and then we'll have the discussion. And if anybody's out there has heard some stupid type of commentary that or advice somebody gave to you, give us a call and let us know at 254-697-6633. But I can't believe what I'm hearing. Wrong ideas that need to be addressed. Here's a few. Dead men tell no lies. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill. No. Another one. Pull the body into the house after you shoot him. Or just wing him. Or how about this one? Modified guns and ammo can get you in legal trouble. Or I'm just going to shoot the gun to scare him. So let's talk about this and some other ones.
Well, I want to cover one and three. I stress the fact that if you shoot your weapon at all, okay, you're pulling out a deadly weapon. It's going to be use of deadly force. So if you try to wing them, so to speak,
I have to stop you right now.
If you're going to try to wing them,
I have to stop you right now.
It's going to be deadly force anyway.
Because you made the comment, and I want to clarify this. You made the comment, if you pull the gun out, it's going to be used as deadly force.
Right.
Penal Code 904 specifically states the threat of force.
Not just pulling the weapon out. If you're going to shoot, to wing somebody.
But you see, that's why we're clarifying this, because somebody says,
to wing somebody.
A person in authority told me just to drag him into the house. So I want to make sure that us being an authority.
We're not to that one. So if one and three, if you're shooting to wing, right, you're going to be seen as shooting to kill anyway. You're going to have using deadly force. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. My commentary is, if you got the time to aim it, you got the time to freaking run.
Well, I'm not going to tell somebody they got to run in their own house.
No,
if you're in your own house and you want to shoot somebody, I mean,
I concur. I'm talking like on the street or something.
Okay, and so, we've always said it's not a good idea when you don't have the presumption, okay? And so if you don't have that presumption... then yes, you need to think about other options. But that's always something you need to do. That's what we talk about. You need to be trained to use a firearm because you need to be aware of your surroundings, your circumstances. I'm gonna digress a second. You said about the parking lot, be aware of your surroundings. I was in college. I had probably way too much to drink with my buddy, and we're walking down the parking lot, and there's a car, and he backs up right in front, so almost hits my buddy, hits the back of his car. He says, "Seriously, who backs up in a parking lot?" No. That's just a great story for me. But I think you got to be aware of your surroundings. You know, if we wouldn't have too much to drink, we wouldn't have, you know, walked right into where he was backing up. Okay, so I think you always have to be aware of what you're doing and train what you're doing so you're confident. And therefore, you don't get in a situation where you're just firing off your weapon into environments where there's really no threat, okay, or in a situation where there was a lot more alternatives. As far as dead men tell no lies, I mean...
Wait, let's stop for a second. I gotta share a story. Since you brought it up, I got to share a story. I know the law, and I know how to handle a weapon, okay? And I know how to handle it under different situations. Been doing it for years. I had a situation where somebody was majorly threatening me, majorly. And I've got a weapon on me, and I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do here? And so what I did was nonviolent dispute resolution. I said, I know the last resort is I can pull that thing out. I know my limitations. I know what I can do. So I'm trying to talk it down. So you got to know how to handle your gun, like you just said. Got to know what your backdrop is. And because that was part of the reason why I had to not do something is because there was just too much collateral damage out there. So you must know what you're doing. You must know the law. You must know how to handle yourself under stress, so on and so forth. I have paused. Go ahead.
Well, no, but wing him, okay, at that point. I mean, it's not Hollywood. I didn't even understand. I don't even understand this. Like, you think, I mean.
I shoot him in the leg.
You're a professional, okay? Are you going to, but if you get in a situation where you have to use your weapon, are you going to go, oh, I'm going to shoot his leg right here?
Heck no, it's center mass.
I mean, there's no time for that, okay? And if you're going to shoot him anyway, it's going to be deadly force. If you're going to be justified, you're going to be justified. Regardless of whether they're just harmed or they're dead.
I fall back on this when I'm teaching the class. I say, look, the law is the law. And only you know when the line in the sand has been crossed, when you think your life's in danger. Only you truly know. The thing you have to do is convey it to the jury who's going to judge you. So in reality, the law book goes out the freaking window. You know your law. You understand it. But when you add it all up, the line has been crossed no matter what. You make the decision to do it.
Let me too. So if you, I'm gonna give some people some confidence here. Okay, if you pull your weapon out, okay, and you use it, just take a deep breath and follow through, and shoot to kill, because it's not gonna make a difference. If you're gonna be justified, you're gonna be justified. Okay, if you're not, then you're not. It's gonna be deadly force either way.
So that terminology can really hurt you. Saying shoot to kill, it's shoot to stop. Shoot to eliminate the threat.
I know, but we're always thinking that's true. You don't need to shoot to kill; you need to shoot to stop the threat. Okay, but at the same time, I'm thinking of it from the advocacy standpoint. On the other side, is going to be saying you shot to kill. Okay, and I'm saying if you're justified, it makes absolutely no difference.
When you say it like that, I concur with you. Yes,
and so it makes no difference if it was deadly force, right? And it was justified deadly force, and it's deadly force whether they live or they die.
I concur. The problem that you guys have me started wondering now is the black and white law turns to gray.
Oh, exactly. And so, yes, I mean, you have that. You have the political standpoint of, oh, somebody's dead now. But honestly, it is what it is. If you're justified, you're justified.
Let's wrap this up, this one particular segment we're talking about, and that is this. Look. If you've trained, the more you train, the more you are prepared, the further away the line in the sand becomes. If you do not train and you do not prepare, the line is right there in front of you. Anything can happen and you're going to freak out. So it's your responsibility to get the training and master your mind, master your body, master your tool, so that freaking line in the sand is far, far away. Okay?
Right. I'm just saying, if you're going to use the weapon, okay, you're not going to have time to think about, oh, I'm going to wing him. Okay, and you just need to do what you're trained to do and not worry about it. Because if it's justified, it's justified.
Okay.
So don't let all these thoughts cloud your head and make you, you know, not follow through with what you're trained to do. Does that make sense? What is wrong with that, Matt? I mean, that seems to me like the right answer.
I just want to make sure it's not a default.
It's not a default. I mean, it's like I'm telling you, the law says if it's justified. Well, I mean, you got another opinion?
No, my comment, it's not really an opinion. It's just based on, here's the deal. If you have somebody who's untrained and inexperienced.
That's different.
Make a foolish decision.
That's different. And that's what we said. You don't just go fire and use the weapon, right, when you're not supposed. That's a totally different scenario. That's what I'm saying. We're not to that pull the body in the house situation. That's a good segue into that. No, don't do that. It's stupid.
Then let's break down your answer step by step. What you're saying is, I'm trained, I'm mentally prepared, I'm physically trained, I know what I'm doing, and it came to the point when I had to do it.
Don't be worried about, oh, I'm going to get charged. Versus, I need to protect myself.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The law book gets thrown out the window once the line has been crossed. But you must be wise to study and learn so that line gets further and further away. If somebody gets a license, look, they start doing it online now. They don't get an instructor who says, hey, look, I've been out there on the street. I know what I'm doing. I've got practical experience. And here you are reading it off the freaking computer, and you get your license, you carry a gun, you think you're badass. You're not. You're going to screw up. You're going to take somebody out accidentally, recklessly. You're going to put yourself in legal problems. You better know what you're doing. Go ahead.
So dragging the body in the house, I guess I could see some circumstance, but I can't think of one really off the top of my head, even though I'm sure there's at least one exception that exists, but no, that's stupid, because you're going to have blood everywhere, and when you drag them, the blood is going to be on the ground, or it's going to be DNA evidence, and you're going to be guilty of tampering with evidence, which is oftentimes classified as the felony, which it is you were trying to hide.
Now, I can see you dragging him in because you wanted to administer first aid, right?
There you go. It's the brass knuckles paperweight. And so, that's always, I guess, availability, but we talked about it. That goes into the training part of it, right? If they're not at the door, or it's not, doesn't look like theft or criminal mischief at nighttime, okay, or they're not in a place where you're gonna get these presumptions that you're able to use your weapon, okay, then that goes into you shouldn't use your weapon, and you should think about alternatives, nonviolent dispute resolution or running away, okay. But I mean, Texas doesn't like the fact they don't want to try to make you run away, but you know, you, and I told, we've talked about the ambiguity. This is when you are getting into the gray area. Is there still a requirement to retreat when you're not, you know, in your house, in your office, or in your vehicle?
I say common sense. You should do it to the best of your ability until such time you can't.
And so the statutes really don't clearly make it a retreat requirement. Okay. Unless you're doing something wrong, it says, you know, then you're not required to retreat. Obviously it's saying you need to retreat. But if you're otherwise allowed to use deadly force, doesn't really have that retreat requirement, but I've told you, my treatises and all of the things that I use in my practice to give me a way to interpret the law, a way to give some substance to words that otherwise don't have any, right, are saying that they believe that in the future there will be a retreat requirement read into the self-defense law.
I'll tell you why I come at it the angle that I do. The scumbag who's trying to hurt me, his life's wrecked anyway. I'm trying to be an honorable citizen. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to do what I do. You know, blah, 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 blah. And if I do something wrong because of a lack of training, that scumbag will majorly change my lifestyle. I will lose a lot of money paying you to protect me or defend me.
Yeah.
My lifestyle will be changed because of the publicity of it all. So I put all these factors and I go, do I really need to do that? And I'm doing it because I'm trained prior. All that happens in nanoseconds, those decisions. And I make the decision, do I do it or do I not do it? And when I have to do it, I will do it. But if you're not trained, that's why it's so important to get your training, that you can make better decisions, because it's going to change your life when you take somebody's life. Now, if it's a scumbag in your house, I could care less. I'll sleep easy. Trust me. But if I'm on the street and there's any room for a potential question, should I have done that or should I not have done that? You may have some dreams about it. Go ahead.
Then the next one, modified guns and ammo. And I think we did a whole show on this before. And just kind of,
we always
like,
have new listeners come in.
No, right? I know. I got you. But I think we could go on and on. I told you, there's no way for me to tell you. Is that ever going to have any kind of effect? I mean, like we said, we gave a bunch of examples. I think there was a Nazi case. There was a group of Nazis, and they had all of this stuff, and they were preparing for war, right? and they just they had all these hollow point every they had all of this military style equipment, okay, and the police raided without them knowing, and they didn't know anybody was coming in, you know, the building, and they just start returning fire, and they really didn't know who it was, and there was great evidence to show that they didn't know the police were there, so they would have been justified, but the court did not give them a self-defense claim because it says you were preparing for war against the government. You brought war on yourself from the government. You knew that this was going to happen. You tried to make this happen, right? And it happened. And now that you brought it, now that it occurred, what you brought on, we're not going to give you the benefit of having a self-defense claim. Now, whether that was the correct call or not, I don't know that I necessarily agree. And you know, I agree that the guys need to go to jail, but do I agree that you know, the court should have made that exception there? I'm not sure.
I don't agree.
I don't technically either. But
because it falls back to this: I can't shoot somebody until they actually make that move to hurt me. So yes, I totally get it. They were planning, but they didn't make the move.
But this was an extreme case. It was obvious. Like it was so
preemptive strike, huh?
Yeah, it was so far fetched from what you can even imagine that they had prepared for that. It was not going to apply even to somebody who is a gun enthusiast.
Okay? Whenever I make a decision, I always think to myself, will that decision ever be turned around back onto me? And so I always resort to my Constitution, my Bill of Rights, and all that kind of stuff. And I say, hey, you know, I'm not going to be a hypocrite here and promote this and all of a sudden turn it around because, yeah, it's obvious, but I'm not. It doesn't matter if it's obvious. The move's got to be made first.
And then we spoke about what kind of a lot of times the better weapons, the modified ammo, is more safe, right? Because it doesn't ricochet outside.
Over-penetrate.
You know,
yeah,
more about the technicalities of the ammo, but well, right? It doesn't go outside of your body.
I've heard comments like this: oh, you're using a hollow point, a HydroShock. Oh, your intent is to really harm. No, my intent is to keep the bullet in that person, not to go to two or three other people, because it's a full metal jacketed bullet and it's just going to go right through y'all. So okay, I'm thinking, what can I do to minimize collateral damage and just take the threat that's trying to hurt me? So, yeah, I mean, you look at it that way. That's how I look at it.
And I think I've talked about Trayvon Martin case, you mm-hmm. know, in Florida. That got a lot of kind of things got brought out there that, you know, he was just looking, itching to kill somebody. And, yeah, I said there's always a chance the government can show intent. But from this standpoint, normally speaking, it's not going to be a problem. Okay, but yeah, I mean, I can't say never. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. It's going to be a circumstance by circumstance.
Ross, I got to make a clarification here. You're very good at what you do. I'm very good at what I do. There's a lot of people out there who are not good at either one of what we do. However, they're going to carry a gun. And so that is why, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so anal and meticulous on the aspects of the law, concept ideas, mental alertness, mental training, physical abilities, running the gun. You must know these things. If you're going to go into the field of potential battle and you do not prepare, you're a fool. You're an idiot. You're stupid. You're naive. Get your act together. If you're going to get a license to carry a gun, get your act together and get your training done. And don't do it online. Find somebody. If it's not me, find somebody who knows what they're doing and they're not going to tell you battle stories. They're going to give you clean, no fluff training so that you are better on the street. I have paused. Go ahead.
Well, I want to make clear again. I don't want to discourage anybody from doing any kind of modifications to their weapons or their ammo. I think that we don't have time to go into everything about why it's, you know, not more likely than not there's ever never going to be any problems with that. I think that if you need to make a modification to your gun and ammo, that you need to do it, and there's never going to be an issue as long as, right, you follow through in accordance with your training, and you follow through in accordance with the self-defense rules that we talk about on here. Yeah. It's not going to be a problem.
I think the modifications of the guns would be like a silencer, or you're doing a full auto gun, or you're cutting off a barrel to make it short. It's those type of modifications. But if you add junk to it, that's a different story. But when it comes to the ammo, somebody might put cyanide in the hollow points and cover it with wax, you know, like in the movie Jaws when he's trying to kill that shark. So things like that, that's kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, you're going to be registered with the ATF. You know, you're going to have to go through all of that, those checks. You're going to have to go through all that administrative process.
If they do it legally.
Get the siler,
if they do it legally.
Well, if you don't do it legally, obviously, right, that's going to be used against you. Right. Why do you have an illegal silencer on your weapon? That's, again, one of those things. I'm not going to say, you know, there's never any problems with modifying your weapons. But if you're going through all those legal steps and it's legal, right, it just shows you're a responsible citizen.
Okay.
Shoot to scare is shooting to warn, isn't it? I'm just playing.
Yeah, okay, here I am in the city, and all of a sudden I shoot a shot up in the air. What goes up comes down. We were talking about that last week, weren't we, Chief? And
that could be deadly conduct, right? Shooting over a street. We talked about shooting
over Chief, a street. Hey, Chief, what would the ordinance be? It would be like discharging a firearm in a city limit?
There's that, but there's also deadly conduct, what you talked about, because you don't know where the bullet's going to go. And there, you could have a case for deadly conduct.
Easily,
and
yeah.
And that's a lot more serious than the Class C discharging a firearm inside city limits.
Right. And that's that would be the go-to charge. It would be a clear charge.
All right, so we say dead men tell no lies, shoot to kill. We don't want to shoot to kill. We want to shoot to stop. Pull a body into the house for medical purposes only, right?
I can't get over that.
Hey, there's always a loophole. just wing them. In my opinion, if I've got time to wing them, I've got time to do something else. If I'm going to pull,
yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
If I'm going to pull the gun. Ladies and gentlemen, if I pull the gun and I say, you are scaring me, those four words, I'm a mental thought process away from pulling the trigger. Don't make me say those words because you're scaring the crap out of me. You're threatening me. I'm in a position where I feel that's my only resolve. You do not want to hear those words come out of my mouth. Okay. So just wing him.
That's what I was saying. I mean, how are you going to, it's not Hollywood. I mean, you're not.
I'll tell you what.
I mean, I've had situations. You don't have time to think about that.
There's a why must you use a why must you verbally speak before you shoot? I just slaughtered that. But there's it basically says before you fire, you should verbalize before firing. It's because they may follow your final instructions.
They may.
I always bring this up. There's this one
works for police all the time.
Reacher is that the movie? Jack Reacher, he's going after this bad guy, and the bad guy's calm, cool, and collective under stress, but he sees Jack Reacher's about to kill him, and he answers the question finally, and the whole reason he answered it was, he goes, I knew and believed that time he was going to pull the trigger, because a lot of times somebody says, oh, you're bluffing, but there's something in your body mannerism, the look in your eyes, the tone in your voice that says, you meet and reached the line, and I'm about to do something. So if you can convey that with your final words and say, I'm telling you, stop, you're scaring me, they may just do it as compared to just shooting them. Because if you got videotapes, which are all over the place, they're going to analyze it, study it, and they're going to the prosecuting attorney is going to try and nail you to the cross. Trust me. I come from an attorney of families. A family of attorneys. I come from a family of attorneys, man. Grandfather, father, brother, cousins, uncles. I mean, I can spin it like the rest of them.
That's what's wrong with you?
That's it. That's my problem. I got attorney in my blood. I'm just as bad as a car salesman. All right, we got a couple of minutes left. Trey, what else can we hit?
Oh, Lord.
Shoot to scare. That was like shooting up in the air. What other crazy... Chief, have you heard some crazy things? No, that's not right.
No, the ones we hear the most is, should we shoot to wing somebody, which... That's, you know, and to drag them in the house. There is, I guarantee you, we don't go anywhere that someone does say, well, can I shoot them? And if I do, do I need to drag them in the house?
Here's my problem. I have people tell me this multiple times, that people who wear this shiny thing on their chest tell them to pull them into the house.
Yeah,
I've
heard that
too. Stupid thing by doing that. Honestly, the officer who's doing that, I would like to
say. Did I say officer? I did not say officer.
Well, I'll come out and say officer. The officer that tells somebody to drag a body in the house is one that's either cracking a joke or he's trying to get away from whoever he's talking to, one of the two.
Yeah.
Because you just don't do that.
Whenever they say that to me and they tell me that an officer did that, I'm like, do not listen to that guy. That's crazy. That's stupid. I can't believe the guy even said
that. I always thought the whole shooting the wingham thing was more like, you're building something, you hit it with a hammer. Just hit it to scare the nail. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. You're just trying to hit the scare of the nail. You got a tool in your hand. You're using it. Use the
Wail
tool
on
correctly.
It. That's right.
And the bad part about people trying to shoot somebody just to wing them, you know, if you're sitting at a firing range and when you've got time to aim, you might be able to do that. But when you're in the middle of a situation where your heart's going about 20,000 beats to a second, you're not going to think about, oh, if I shoot him in the big toe, that'll stop him. You're going to think about shooting wherever you see the most of a person. So shame on you if you put your butt in front of me, because that's what's going to get shot.
It's just like rifle slings. You get a guy with a rifle walking down the street, a standard rifle. I'm not talking these tactical slings because people aren't used to them yet. But if you're walking down the street and you got a basic two-point sling and it's the rifle slung over your shoulder, you're legal, you're fine, as long as you don't do it in a threatening manner, okay? It's acceptable. I can see that. But when you start going outside the realm of normal, people start looking at it, it's funny, and they're going to question you, and it's going to cause problems. So know your stuff. Trey, what are we on time?
It's about time.
All right, look,
it's about time.
This segment is brought to you by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, and we can't thank them enough. They're awesome. And we have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson here, who comes in much of the time when super attorney Rick Dodd's not available. So, Ross, tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
105 East Main Street here in Cameron. You can email me, Benton@Watson.legal. That's Benton@Watson.legal. You can give me a call at 254-605-4140. That's 605-4140. Rick, thanks, and I look forward to the tactical defense class coming up. And so I can't wait.
That'd be great.
All right, everybody, we'll see you on the other side.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs. Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's January 6, 2018, and we're in our topic of interest segment. We got a lot of things coming up this month, so I wanted to share those with you. Today at 2 p.m., I've got a license to carry class. A lot of people have been calling me, and so we set up something special for them. And if you want to participate, if there's still some room in there, it's 2 o'clock today. It's $60 for the class. If you already have a license and you want to refresh your memory, which I highly recommend, the course for that would be $40. And just show up there. Let me know you heard on the radio. We'll take care of you, okay? So that's today at 2 p.m. at Aaron's Gun Shop in Cameron. January 12th is Friday, the next round robin. You need to go to aaronsgunshop.com. Like us on Facebook, but go to the and watch the video there of Clint Smith talking about why it's so important to understand how to use different guns. And that's why I set up the round robin. I set up the round robin because so many people are so used to their own gun. But what happens if it breaks down, doesn't work, can't use it? You got to pick somebody else's gun up. Do you know how to function it? So on January 12th, the second Friday of the month, will be our next round robin. We got a nice heritage firearm up for grabs. Check it out on aaronsgunshop.com's Facebook page. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Like us on Facebook. Help us out there in those respects. January 19th is Ladies' Night. That's the third Friday of the month. Ladies get to shoot for free. So guys, if you're bringing your girls, I can't keep up with the gender stuff here. So if you're somebody bringing a woman, the woman gets to shoot for free that night, okay? And that's the third Friday of the month. Now, it's right around the corner, upcoming in March. March 9th will be the next law enforcement round robin shoot off. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you got to listen to me on this. People are getting confused on this. I'm not asking for law enforcement to be members of the team. I'm asking for citizens to represent law enforcement departments. And here's how it works. Teams of five. Get a team of five people together. It's $100 for the entry fee. You shoot. Your team shoots. If you win, all the contributions go to your law enforcement agency of choice. You're representing a law enforcement agency. So pick one you like. Find five people. Start practicing. Get ready March 9th. And whoever wins gets to donate the charitable prize to the law enforcement department of their choice, and that law enforcement department gets to keep the Aaron's Gun Shop rotating trophy, this big, huge eagle with the American flag up on a pedestal showing that, hey, this your department won, the team that represented you won, okay? I represent the Milam County Sheriff's Department since I'm out in the county there. They take care of me, so I want to support them. And last year we won, and they've got the trophy sitting up there nicely. So start getting prepared. It's March 9th for the Round Robin Law Enforcement. This is the third annual law enforcement shoot-off benefit. Get people together. Get it organized. Call me. I'll give you some more details, all right? And all law enforcement listening, start talking it up. Do you want to be the one who lost? I don't think so, okay? I hear Milam County is boasting, bragging, smiling from ear to ear, saying, nah, 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 nah. So are they going to keep it this upcoming year? I don't know. Are they going to have some competition? Well, I'll tell you what, my team, you better be good because we're going to smoke you. Okay, I challenge you. I double dog dare you to beat my team. I dare you. All right, anyway, next thing. We've got seminars. If you've got something you want to learn, go to Aaron's High Cap Adventures, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventure page, look at all the different types of seminars that we have to offer. Ladies, listen up. Get yourself a group of five women, and we'll get a ladies-only seminar teaching you home defense and personal security and all that kind of stuff without the guys there, okay? I'm the surrogate guy, so you can let your hair down. You don't have to worry about hubby or boyfriend or whatever. Say, now you got to do it this way, okay? We're going to have a good time. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the testimonial page. Look at all the videos of the ladies there taking the class. And you'll hear from them directly as to how much they enjoyed it, what a great time they had. So check it out. Okay, I got a couple of minutes left. I didn't finish this last week. I've got pet peeves, and it's about driving. And I got a list of 10 of them here, and I think that'll bring me right perfect for the delicious Janae Goodman talking about tactical snacking. I have pet peeves when it comes to driving. Number one, not using your blinker. That just irritates the dickens out of me. Overrunning a stop sign. You're driving down the main road and somebody flies through the white line and almost is halfway through the intersection and you don't know if they're going to sideswipe you or what. And so you swerve over and there could be somebody potentially in the other lane. Slow down to the white line, stop, and then creep forward. Racing through an intersection, beating the yellow. I can't tell you, in the last few months, I've had about 5 incidents where if I had gone an extra half a second earlier, I would have been hit by somebody flying through the intersection. Pulling over once I start to pass you. If we're in a 2-lane highway, or if we're on a highway, 1 lane going in each direction, and I'm a 2-car distance away from you saying, hey, you know, I'd like to pass, and you don't pass. But then when you get to a passing lane and I start to pass you, you pull over. Well, what the heck? Get out of my way. Using the shoulder as a traffic lane. It's not legal. Don't do it. Partially driving on the shoulder. Debris. Especially on the new roads where they're digging up the sides. Those where your tire goes over and it makes that noise to wake you up. Well, there's a whole bunch of little rocks in there. When you drive on that, it flies up and breaks my windshield. Paralleling a car for the duration of a 2-lane highway instead of passing it. Pass quickly. Get out of the way. And then tailgating, and then when you can pass, you don't. Somebody driving up on the backside of my car, tailgating me, and then there's a dotted line for a mile stretch, no cars coming, yet you won't pass me. I don't get it. So I got pet peeves. Anyway, I thought I'd share those with you. I didn't finish them up last week. And now we are perfect timing for the delicious Janae Goodman, and she's going to be telling us about tips that can help us with the New Year's resolution, saving money, eating better, and losing weight. Take it away, Trey.
Hello, my lovelies, and welcome to another segment of Tactical Snacking. It's that time again where you present yourself as a new person for the first few weeks of the year, but hopefully my tips today can bring you out a little further than that to achieve the new you. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Is it your big goal this year to get fit or lose weight? Diets and fitness are not one size fits all, so don't jump on board with something just because it works for someone else. It's important to find a diet and an exercise habit that fits your lifestyle. If a regimen makes you uncomfortable or you feel like it's not a plan that works for you, find something else. You will not stick to it if you're not comfortable with it. Also remember that not all changes have to be cold turkey approach. Start with small changes first, such as looking for healthier alternatives for items that you feel like you can't live without. Choose unsaturated healthy fats over solid fats when possible, this being olive oil versus butter, for example. Or picking up light versions of your favorite dressings, choosing baked options over fried, or picking leaner cuts of meat or opting for white meat over red meat more frequently. Another important detail with weight loss is balance. Not just the balance between diet and exercise, but the balance within your diet alone. Remember, balance is key. Counting calories isn't for everyone, but it definitely helps to visualize where your calorie intake goes. You can keep track with helpful phone apps such as MyFitnessPal or MyNetDiary. Living a healthier lifestyle can mean different things depending on who you ask. This year's top resolutions included drinking more water and giving up smoking. If your goal is to increase your water intake, here's an easy way to keep track. Aim for at least 1 cup of water each hour. The average suggestion for pure water consumption is about 4 to 6 cups. This will space out your consumption so you don't feel like you're chugging water like a fish. As you make a habit of drinking more water, you'll feel less urge to indulge in sugary soft drinks and juices. If you're feeling a craving, reach for sparkling or fruit-infused water instead. Hopefully I can help you along today if your goal is to stop smoking. Personally, I don't smoke, so I did ask for some advice on this solution. Some ex-smokers say that food helped them kick the habit. No, unfortunately, there's no miracle food out there that will allow you to quit, but it has more to do with the fact that you're keeping your hands and your mouth occupied. Many ex-smokers suggest items higher in sodium or sugar, such as sunflower seeds or lollipops. I'd hate to scare you from one bad habit into another, so I did my research to find that items such as carrots, celery, or milk before a cigarette will make you less inclined to want one next time because of the bitter taste that it afflicts. Items packed with vitamin C, such as citrus fruits and strawberries, can help nullify your nicotine cravings. Alcohol, caffeine, and red meat should be limited since these have opposing effects that may cause you to crave a cigarette even more. Please note that not everyone will have the same triggers and experiences, so it's best to find something that works out for you. What's the one goal that we all have in common? Saving money, of course. You can do so by making meals and snacks at home and taking the time to plan. My number one money saver is this. Make a list before you head out to the store. Compile this list by checking your pantry and fridge to make sure that you're not buying items you already have. This list should consist of items that you can use throughout the week or through the month, depending on how you budget. While making my list, I make a list of any meals that I want to make that week. I advise that these meals aren't terribly spread out in ingredients that they need, so repurpose the same ingredients for different meals. Perhaps having roasted chicken and steamed rice on Monday, and preparing fried rice with your leftovers on Tuesday or Wednesday. Making a list also helps you avoid going into the store aimlessly and spending on items you didn't originally come for in the first place. On that note, do not go to the store hungry. Grocery stores are set up to entice you, and they're very good at their job. I notice my grocery bill is much higher when I go into the store with a craving. I often end up buying everything that sounds great at that moment and tend to lose focus of the items I originally came in for. Have a snack before wandering through the endless aisles of enticement to help cut back on any cravings. There's nothing wrong with generic or store brands. Yes, I understand that there are some brands that you just cannot live without, and I'm right there with you. But most items are made with the same exact ingredients. Next time you're in the store, look for the store's private brands versus the national brands. Store brands are often cheaper because they don't have to advertise their products nearly as much as national brands do. So give them a shot and save a few bucks. If you can spare the freezer and pantry room, buy in bulk. You'll get more bang for your buck when you purchase at wholesale prices. Just don't forget to separate and freeze any bulk refrigerator items in a timely manner. There's no bigger money waster than food spoilage. Recreating your favorite restaurant meals at home lessens the bind on your wallet, and it can help increase the bond you share with your family. Restaurant copycat recipes can be easily found online or in a copycat cookbook. Get your family in on the prep work and create some fond memories. And hey, you don't even have to tip them. To help you cut cost, bring your lunch to work. Let's say you buy lunch 5 days a week and spend an average of $7 per meal. That's $35 each week. Assuming you follow this pattern all year, that adds up to a little over $1,800. Wow. I often pack my leftovers from dinner for the next day's lunch. Pack or make your lunch the night before. You're less likely to stick to your commitment if you find yourself in a time crunch the morning of, or if you're just not feeling up to putting together a last-minute lunch option. Whatever your resolution is this year, know this. You can do it. I believe in you. If you need more words of encouragement, or you'd like some tips and tricks to stay strong this year, email me at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. Join me next week for superfoods to help you get through cold and flu season. And until then, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good Saturday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day. It's a beautiful day outside. Starts off nice and cool and going to be warm today. You know, a lot of things happened January 1st. Some of them you won't even know about. Many of you know that back in September, the state legislature that meets every 2 years to waste our money and do the things that sometimes we don't think they do, got together, and they passed 86 bills that went into effect, 86 new laws that went into effect on the September the 1st. But how many of you knew that there were 36 laws that went into effect on January 1st? Most of you had no clue that we had more laws that went into effect. For instance, to give you an idea on some of them, number one, it is now legal for a truck to carry 90,000 gallons of milk instead of 80,000 gallons of milk when they're going up and down the highway. Now think about that. You're getting more milk for the buck. More cows are being milked, so that's a good thing. It's also now legal for a store owner, when you go to use your debit card or MasterCard or Visa or whatever, to ask you for a picture ID to compare the names together. So don't be offended when somebody does that, because that's the legal, the right of the person that does that. There's also a number of laws that went into effect about your taxes, your ad valorem taxes, things of that nature. Most of those laws, we don't think will affect us, but in the long run, when you start to pay your taxes, they will. It also talks about ways that you can, if by chance you need to appeal your taxation, there are some laws in there that concerns that. If you're going to buy some cars or transfer motor titles, there's new laws about that. Also, you know, if you look around, there's a lot of laws that many times we think that they don't affect us, but in the long run, they do. There is a new law that went into effect, and one I really want to talk about today. It's referred to as the Sandra Bland Law. I don't know if how many of you remember Sandra Bland or not, but she was the young lady who was 28 years old from Illinois, who was stopped by a Texas Department of Safety state trooper in Waller County. Her arrest brought a lot of publicity. It was on television. The tape was released. It showed her and the trooper tussling on the scene. She was taken to a local jail down in the Houston area, and unfortunately, she committed suicide while she was in jail. You know, after Bland's death, and once again, which was ruled a suicide by the coroner in that area, her family, activists, and lawmakers swiftly criticized the jail's leadership and the actions of the police officer, the state trooper. With a new legislative session a long way away at that time, the Texas Commission on Jail Standards first put an offer to a solution, making it where a new intake screen for all county jails, all 254 counties in this state, it had to be changed. During the legislative session, one state representative out of the Houston area named Coleman introduced a bill that was named in her honor. A comprehensive piece of legislation, true. It had a lot of effect, had a lot of changes, and it could have some massive changes on law enforcement. The bill, once again, was named and originally tackled as a racial profiling bill during traffic stops. Now, folks, for 10, 12, 14 years, this state has had a racial profiling bill in place. A lot of people don't understand the racial profiling bill. They don't understand the ways of it and how it works. But the one thing I will tell you right now, the bill that we had concerning racial profiling was a good bill. It mandated that cameras on traffic stops had to be in place. If your police department or your sheriff's department made it a practice, a habit to stop vehicles, there had to have some type of recording device. Now, that recording device works two ways. Number one, it kept officers from making a lot of careless mistakes, but it also cut down on the number of complaints filed against officers. So that law, in all honesty, was a very good law that went into effect for law enforcement. A lot of cities, a lot of people at first thought it was going to be detrimental to law enforcement. It ended up being a very favorable bill that allowed law enforcement to have ways of tracking now what they were doing. And I'm going to throw this in here right now for just a moment, folks. You know, the big thing, and everybody says, well, we're supposed to know the race of the person before we stop the vehicle. I can tell you right now from experience, my many nights, many midnight shifts working at Temple PD, when you put those red lights on a car who has committed a traffic violation or something of that nature, 99.9% of the time, you have no clue the color of the person that's driving that vehicle. It's nighttime, it's dark. You don't have time to be able to look and see who's in the vehicle. That's why it's so dangerous performing traffic stops. That's why the dangers involved with so many people get hurt and killed on traffic stops. But I go ahead just a little bit. The bill that was originally passed didn't move out of committee because of opposition from a lot of law enforcement groups and lawmakers concerning about unfunded mandates. The Senate version of the bill, which was passed later by Senator John Whitmire of Houston, removed such of the language relating to encounters from law enforcement. Basically, de-escalation training remained. It's now a law in the state of Texas that if a police officer is going to be trained, he's going to have training, he has to undergo every 2 years some type of de-escalation on how to deal with different individuals, especially those that may have a mental deficiency or slower capability. What they thought was that the Sandra Act bill would prevent traffic stops from escalating by ensuring that all law enforcement officers receive de-escalation training for all situations as part of their basic training and continuing education. Well, folks, that one word, all. There's no such thing at all. Police work is not exact science because people are not an exact science. You can't expect an officer, and I'm not defending officers that have gone out there and done something stupid and cut a gut, but I'm defending the majority of the officers who just go out there every day, put that badge on, and try to do the job that they know how to do, the best they know how, and the safest way they know how. You can't expect an officer to know exactly what's in the mind of the person they're dealing with. So, yeah, we do need, in law enforcement, some changes. But we also need to have some understanding that police officers are human beings as well. Now, going on about this a little bit, and, you know, one of the things that this act did, and I'm not necessarily saying this is a bad part of law enforcement at all. It could be very good. You know, it provides for a new diversion. And what it hopes to do is that, you know, substance abuse would be treated, listed, and added to the treatment services eligible by the state health department. Once again, how are you going to pay for it? Well, you know how we're going to pay for it. It's going to come out of your taxes, my taxes, and anybody else's taxes that pays them in the state of Texas. Counties will be required to develop a plan for how local mental health authorities, law enforcement groups, and other community organizations work with people experiencing homelessness, mental health issues, the crisis, and substance abuse. And now, and this is one of the keys, police officers are required now to make a good faith effort to divert people to treatment. Instead of arresting them if they're experiencing a mental crisis or substance abuse, officers would be expected to do it reasonably possible by sending them to somewhere that is not an incarceration. So one of the things we look at, folks, is can that be done? Can we release people? Well, under the law, we're going to have to starting. Now, there's another part of this law that's really important that I want you to understand. And this is something that I think a lot of people did not understand. And this is kind of the heart of what I want to talk about today. When you get stopped on a traffic stop and you have some police officer that pulls you over, he has basically maybe three or four options of what he can do. Let's say hypothetically, I've got old Matt over here driving 75 miles an hour down, you know, the main street here, which is 30 miles an hour.
That's it?
Oh, that's just all. That's 75, you know. Now, he's going extremely fast, so I pull him over out by the river bridge, you know, where all the deputies always sit to catch you when you're coming off the hill. So I'm sitting out there. And I'm fixing to walk up to him, and I'll approach his car. Now, I've got some options. I can do a good old-fashioned Texas butt-chewing. I can write him a verbal warning. I can write him a citation. Or if I can develop things, in true Texas, you can't arrest for speeding, but there's certain times you can. And maybe he does something else, and I'll arrest him for speeding. It's four things I could do. Now, the last one, arrest for speeding, it has to be something that's much, much more than just a speeding to be able to do that in Texas. Under the new law that passed with this act, that warning, that verbal warning that we talked about, that's going to go out the window. Under the Sandra Bland Act, every law enforcement agency, any time they stop a vehicle, I don't care if they stop a vehicle going 1 mile over the speed limit, which, you know, we hear that all the time. I've just never seen it happen in real life. But if you stop a vehicle, by law, it has to be documented. Now, how do you document that? Well, you're going to have to fill out a paperwork that says that you didn't know the race of the vehicle, the driver. You didn't know this. You didn't know that. There's no search done. Did you have probable cause to stop them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, folks. If a police officer is going to go to the time to stop you, and if he's going to have to fill out paperwork anyway, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Instead of just doing a warning, why just not check one more box and you get a full-blown citation for it? So I guess what I'm saying to you folks is, if you start seeing an increase in citations across the state by either troopers or by local police or sheriff's offices, it's not really their fault. Our state legislature has mandated that there is so much regulation now on those traffic stops that it keeps the officer basically out of trouble, and it keeps him by the law by just going ahead and writing a full-blown citation. I think you're going to see when we visit this a year from now, you're going to see citations have skyrocketed across the state of Texas. You're going to see unhappy voters. You're going to see unhappy citizens. You're going to see unhappy people, period. But, folks, there's nothing that can be done about that. And until you decide to tell your legislatures that there's got to be a better way. And the only thing, the only reason I bring this up, folks, is real simple. You know, when I was the chief, my old saying was, two contacts keeps the chief away. I'm not saying they had to write two tickets. I was just saying that what they need to do is make two traffic contacts. I never, and you can't by law mandate how many tickets a person can get, how many citations can be issued. That's illegal. That's wrong. It's not right to start with. But I am telling you this, you're going to see an increase in citations. You're going to see more people that are going to be unhappy because they're getting more citations. But as part of the mandate of this bill, and once again, that bill was a Sandra Bland Act, and that was one of the mandates that came with this. There is now so much oversight and so much regulation involved with it. If a police officer is going to stop somebody, he might as well or she might as well just go ahead and do the full-blown citation because you're doing everything all except checking one block anyway. Or either you're going to see just the opposite effect. There won't be any traffic enforcement at all, which is not reasonable. So, folks, until next week, and I may revisit this again a little bit next week, but until next week, hope everybody has a great time through the week. Be safe, be careful, and slow down.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is, Trey, you know, I lost track. What's today's date?
The 6th.
Thank you. Today's January. See, the year's going by so fast already, I lost track of what the date was. It's January 6th, 2018.
Yeah, it's the year's fault. We'll go with that.
Yeah, there you go. It's not my days in college. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this segment is sponsored by ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz, the owner, great guy, known him for years, consistent in his friendship, courtesy, generosity, the whole works. You need to go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. The number is 254-983-4417. They got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, accessories, reloading equipment, knives, the whole works. You need to go check them out. The building itself is pretty cool, too, so check it out. Tell them I sent you, and support them because they support me. If you like this radio show, it's because of people like Arch and Rick Dodd and their firm and Small Engine Repair, Kyle Van Cleve, and all the other sponsors who help us out here. We couldn't do it without these guys, so support them because they support me. Now, what I want to talk about today is three different things, but in reality, it's going to be ammunition. But I wrote some notes here. And we're going to be talking about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun, the Mossberg's Shockwave 12-gauge, and the Aguila Mini Shot Shells. Let's talk increasing mag capacity without increasing the bulk of the weapon. Now, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and refer to the Facebook page, you're going to see a picture. You're going to see one picture of three pictures in it. It's going to have the KSG shotgun, it's going to have the Mossberg Shockwave firearm, and it's going to have a picture of Aguila ammo next to other standard ammo. You're going to see how like two shells of Aguila equal one shell of a full-size shell. So we're going to be talking about that. These three items they interchange a lot with each other, and I'll explain how. Compact, versatile, slick, streamlined. Why jack it up with a side saddle when you can up your ammo by using mini shells? Now, let me explain. What I've got here, we're going to put this on a video. We don't normally do this on a video, but today we're going to do it on a video. Right here in my hands, I have the Mossberg Shockwave. This is not a shotgun. This is not a pistol. This is categorized as a firearm by the Gun Control Act of 1968. The way it was made, it is a firearm. The barrel is 14 inches. This is an incredibly awesome firearm. If you don't have one, you should consider getting one. ANC Firearms has this. You can get it. It's an incredible little weapon, okay? It's nice because if you look in the video here, it's not too much wider than my shoulders. So when I'm turning corners in the house, I don't have this long barrel protruding out before I even get to the corner where the bad guy can grab it, take it away from me, and do whatever. This is a very versatile shotgun. It carries on a standard 2 3/4 inch round. Let me show you the round. That's a standard 2 3/4. This is buckshot. 2 3/4 inch shotgun shell. They got 3 inches, and this gun will take that too. But this gun with 2 3/4 rounds, oh gosh, bear with me. I think it's 5-1. I think it's 5-1. It's either 4-1, 5-1. I screwed up. I should have had those facts. But my point is, some people want to raise the capacity, so they put side saddles on this gun. This gun is meant to be light and tight, streamlined, small and compact. Now, let me show you another shotgun. This one wasn't a shotgun. This is a firearm. This one I'm about to show you now is a shotgun. This is a KSG, a Kel-Tec shotgun. This is a bullpup configuration. It's basically they cram the stock and the barrel all together with the receiver, so it's an overall length of 26 inches. The barrel is 18 inches, which makes it a shotgun, but the overall length is 26 inches. It has two magazine tubes, all right? Now, I've already checked these, but for purposes of the videos, we're going to do it again to ensure that the weapons are clear. The tubes are clear, the chamber is clear, the weapon is clear, and it's on safe. The Mossberg Shockwave, chamber's clear, tubes are clear, all right? Now, this one here with a standard 2 3/4 inch shotgun shell carries 14 rounds. And what's nice about it is it's got the butterfly switch down here at the bottom that can switch from one tube to the other. So, if you want to keep it simple, you can keep all the same types of round in there. And you, for example, you have buckshot, you have 14 rounds of buckshot. If you're more experienced, practice with the weapon, and you want to go slugs on one side, buckshot on the other, what I do is alphabetically. As I'm looking down the barrel of the shotgun, I say B is before S. So my buckshot's on the left, my slugs are on the right. You do whatever you got to do, okay? So if I'm shooting and all of a sudden I see a hog and I decide instead of a human threat, I got a four-legged threat, I'm going to switch it over maybe to a slug and take the hog out with a slug. Or if I got a human threat, I switch it back over, I got buckshot, okay? But I got 14 rounds. And this one here, I think it's 4-1, to be honest with you. I think it's a 4-1 capacity with it. With a 2 3/4 inch shell. So 4 in the tube, 1 in the chamber, I got 5 rounds. If you go look at the pictures on my Facebook page, you're going to see this firearm, this Mossberg Shockwave, they've put a side saddle on it. A side saddle is a plate that has half moons where you can put extra shotgun shells in it. So when you run out of the tube, you reload and you put it in there. It kind of defeats the purpose of having a short, compact, thin, streamlined weapon. It makes this bulk, and then when you grab it, it kind of wants to lean over to one side. And the other problem is it catches on stuff. It's a Christmas tree again. The last thing I want to do to a compact firearm is to make it uncompact and slick. If I go to the KSG, and if you look on my website, you'll see this picture of the KSG. It's got a side saddle on the left. It's got a side saddle on the right. The shells stick up above the Picatinny rail. I've got a, I don't know what you call it. It looks like an abortion, all right? It's just, it's ugly. It's not slick. It's not compact. So what can we do to get the same effect of having extra ammo but keeping the gun slick? Well, the answer is this, and that's a Gila. A Gila mini shot shells. I don't know if that, does that read right backwards when it's on the screen and you're looking back at it again, or does it read?
It should read right.
It should read right? Okay. These are a Gila mini shot shells. They look like this. They come in buckshot, birdshot, slugs. And if you compare it to a 2 3/4 inch shell, that's what it looks like. If you go to the Aaron's Gun Shop Facebook page, you'll see a picture of the mini shells lined up alongside of the regular size cartridges, and you get to see how many more shells you get to put in the gun as compared to a full-size round. Now, I can't wait for all the people to say, well, you don't get as much power with the mini shells. Well, let's do a comparison here. The analogy is this. Cameron, the city of Cameron, is the target. And then on the shotgun shell of 2 3/4 inch is a hydrogen bomb. The mini shell, which is only 1 3/4 inches, is an atomic bomb. And you drop the atomic bomb on Cameron, and you drop the hydrogen bomb on Cameron, either one's going to wipe the hell out of Cameron, okay? So don't give me this crap where, oh, it's a smaller cartridge. This buckshot won't do as much as this buckshot. Look, I'm at close proximity. I'm turning a corner in my house, okay? I'm not going to shoot this thing unless the threat is close. Would you want me to shoot you with this thing, this short one? No, I don't think so. Would you want me to shoot you with a pellet rifle? No, I don't think so. Trust me, this will get the job done. The Aguila mini shell will get the job done. Now, when you put the Aguila mini shell in a Kel-Tec shotgun, guess what? You just upped your game from 14 rounds to 22 rounds. 22 rounds. And I still slick on the sides. I have no side saddles. I've got the same shotgun I started out with, and I've got almost twice the capacity without doing anything other than dropping down to a 1 3/4 inch shell as compared to 2 3/4 inch shell or 3 inch shell. Okay? Now, when it comes to the Mossberg Shockwave, this one is a what? 4-1 with 2 3/4, if I remember right. When I put the mini shells in it, I get up to 9 shells in it. I almost double my capacity. And I have no side saddle. I've got nothing that's going to catch. I don't have rounds going to accidentally pop out. Okay, I said, where'd that one go? It's slick. It's tight. It's the way I bought it. Yet I upped my capacity, doubled my capacity, okay? So go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. The phone number is 254-983-4417. They've got the Shockwave. They can get you the KSG shotgun, which is awesome, by the way. They're both awesome. They've got the Aguila shells, and they've got standard shells. You can get all of these, intermix them, interchange them, modify, make the guns work better than they were designed to do, okay? ANC Firearms, Hyde and Hammer, 254-983-4417. And remember, their sponsors, been sponsored for a long time to keep the show on the air. Support them. If you like this show, you need to support them. Stop buying stuff on the internet. Go support these guys at ANC Firearms and Hyde and Hammer, 254-983-4417. Trey, let's take us out with a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the lovely Susan Connolly here as my interview guest. And we're going to be talking women, guns, and what it takes to get it done. See you on the other side.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowlers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowlers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's January 6, 2018, and we're here with Susan Connolly, longtime friend, painter. And Susan, welcome to the show. But you got something else going on. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I'm starting a real estate photography business.
Nobody does that. Tell me about it.
In Bell County, there's a very few. And so if you're interested in getting excellent, you know, stunning photographs of your home that you're selling.
Mm-hmm. Got to talk to the mic.
Call 254-239-4737.
So in other words, what you're saying is if somebody wants to sell their home and they want to get like a spread, like you see these real estate magazines, if they want to do it for their home and they're a FSBO, for sale by owners.
That's right. Well, no, and also realtors.
And realtors too?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a great way to promote your house. You give them some ideas on how to make it look pretty.
I do photographs, flyer, video. And if you're interested, call me and I'll send you a flyer. We're just starting out. We don't have actually have a website set up yet, but I'll send you a flyer with my pricing. And
what was
some,
the info to get a hold of you?
254-239-4737.
That's awesome. You're one of those people who, when you decide to do something, you just do it to its max ability. So that's cool. Now, Susan, we got you on here because we were talking at the shop last night about just doing it, getting it done, specifically
right.
when it comes to women, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women out there who want to do it, and all it takes is like that push into the pool. Once they're in, they're going to swim like fish. But
right.
it's pushing them, getting to the pool and pushing them in, right? So we got a few topics
That's
we're
right.
going to talk about, and we'll take it one by one here, but I'll read basically what kind of things we're going to talk about. Weapon selection, empowering women, knowing how to use it, practice, women's groups, ladies' seminars, how can you get a wife involved, tools, not toys. Let's talk about these things. What got you involved? What makes you... Because I'll tell you what, you're a great competitor when it comes to the round robin. You really are. You're,
and
man, I'm
getting
telling
there,
you,
I'm going to win.
No, you're at winning capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people at winning capabilities. It's just, what day is it? What day is it? Are you going to make it that day? So go ahead.
So I think I started really getting serious about, you know, guns and having a CHL license, if that's they call that CHL now.
It's now licensed to carry.
Licensed to carry about 10 years ago. And I just, the deal about, you know, I thought, why not? I mean, why can't I go and do this too? I mean, there's no reason why I couldn't.
But are you looking at it as just something you want to do, or did you have a concern?
Well, I was a single mom, and I lived in the house by myself and with my son, and I was a gun owner, and I wanted to know the best ways. I wanted to know the safest way and the best way to teach some, you know, I wanted to teach my son safety, gun mm-hmm. safety. So I actually needed to know the best
right.
way and gun safety so that we could both, you know, handle the guns safely and not be afraid of the actual... tool itself.
Now, if you want to stereotype, usually it's the guy's job. Usually, if you want to stereotype it, okay? But when there's a single mom takes the place of both parents, mom and dad, most of the time from what you see in statistics and what you hear. And so you stepped up to the challenge to teach your son how to shoot. And there's a lot of women out there, I'm sure, who are in the same boat, getting into the same boat. And so your story here that you're telling is a good inspiration to them to probably do the same thing.
Well,
right?
And I think it was an enlightening moment when I thought, you know, I can do this. Why can't I do this? Because they're, you know, you're a woman and you're going, well, you know, that's not the normal thing to do. And what will they think of me? And, you know, all this stuff. And I, you know, if you really want to learn about it, and I wanted to know the safe ways of doing things, and I wanted to be able to teach him the safe ways.
Mm-hmm. He's a good shot too.
He is. He's very good. Very confident child. He's not really a child. He's 21 now, but excellent. Excellent. And, you know, he's not afraid of the guns. And that's the main thing is to try to go and practice enough to where you're not afraid and you're mm-hmm. comfortable with your weapon, which is actually a tool.
Yes. A good segue, because what I was going to say was this. Not everybody likes to change a tire, but it's a necessity. It's a tool. You got to get the jack, you know, all that kind of stuff to change your tire. You got to know how to do it. I don't like to change tires, but I got to learn how to do it. I know how to do it, but sometimes it's necessary to do it. It's the same thing with a gun. Baking a cake, you know, if you want to bake a cake or buy a cake. Bake a cake, buy a cake. Burn a cake, do it again, whatever. When it comes to a gun, it's a tool. Whether you like it or not, it's a good thing to know. And if you're going to know it well. And I can't remember, what got you started coming out to me? It's been a long time now.
I took your CHL class,
mm-hmm.
and there was a incredible, there were like 20 people in the class. And it was mainly, you know, an enlightening fact that I wanted to, that I could actually carry my own weapon around and do it. You know, it was just, it was like, I don't know how to explain it, but when you're a woman and you've been told all your life you're a woman and, oh, you just, you know, it's a stigma thing where, you know, what you got to do is you have to think, well, you can do this. There's no reason why you can't do this too.
Susan, how tall are you?
I'm 5'3".
Okay, you're not...
I'm really pretty tiny.
You're not the tallest of women. No. And your hands, I'm looking at your fingers.
I have very small hands.
Small hands. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, she'll pick up a large size firearm and she'll tear it up. It's because she understands the concept. She studied it. She's practiced it. And it comes to almost any gun she can handle. Of course, larger guns, you got to do some modifications to your stances and all that kind of stuff. But she's not afraid of it. She embraces it. It's great. And you will be empowered as well.
That's right. It is very empowering to not be afraid of any weapon. You just pick it up and you know how to use it. And you're not afraid to shoot it. You just do it. You know?
What can you say about the competition that's coming up this upcoming Friday? You've done it many times. And I remember the first time you did it. The only reason you did bad the first time is because it's the first time you did it.
Right.
After that, you've had bad luck. The guns have been causing the problems. We've had a misfire or a malfunction or the gun's defective, and you did whatever you could possibly do to try to get it back up and running, but it just wouldn't work. And it's just the luck of the draw. But, you know, what can you say about that, what it does for you in your training aspects?
The round robin competition teaches you how to fire different guns.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you how to fix a gun when it's malfunctioned. It also teaches you to hurry. It puts you under pressure.
That's right.
And because you have to shoot each gun in 10-second intervals, and so it teaches you to move faster, to think and focus more on what you're doing. In my first round robins, I ran out of time a lot.
Yeah.
Because I was slow, too slow, too slow. And so you learn to speed up, you learn to focus, and really, as I've gotten better, it has become a more of a mental game.
Now, yes, let's be clear on how you got faster. Let's say there's just 5 shooters per string on this time. You'll have 50 seconds to shoot at 5 targets, okay? And you got 5 different guns. But what you're talking about when you ran out of time, as time progressed and you've done more competitions, you've learned that if I understand mechanics, I understand the actions of guns, I have a familiarization now of guns, that when I put the first gun down and as soon as I moved to the next one, I knew what kind of gun it is, what kind of action it is, what the placement of the gun is, and as soon as I pick it up, I'm already focused on the threat, right?
Right.
So it's incredible what that competition can do for you.
Well, it teaches you to think ahead.
Yes.
You're done with this task. You are already thinking ahead to the next task. Your body, you're thinking as your body is moving to the next
gun.
That's
right, that's right.
And you're picking it up, putting it in. You're thinking about the target, and you're shooting the target. You're not really thinking about the gun.
She made it, let's refine that. She made a comment that is, you're thinking one step ahead of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got it down to the point where I picked up the gun, I'm already shooting, but I'm so tuned and tracked on the target, I'm already starting to get ahead of myself and go to the next gun. And that's where you save the time, because people lose 2 to 3 seconds per gun because they're nonchalant or they don't know what to do. And
right.
They're fumbling with the gun.
Well, also, I think another thing that we are not mentioning here is the fact that you have 5 or 6 other people behind you watching you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn to tune out everything around you except for what you're doing.
That's a good point, yeah.
And you are completely focused. I'm reading this book called Relentless right now, and it's written by a coach that I can't remember. It's Tim, you can look it up, Relentless. He talks about going into the dark side, and the dark side is not thinking about anything else but focusing completely on what you're doing at that moment, and everyone else disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do when you do. You learn that as you practice doing the round robin. After a time, you learn to focus all your energy and mind energy on what you're doing. And so
here's a perfect example.
Become extremely good at, you know, and efficient in the time that you have when you're shooting the gun.
Mm-hmm. I have this comment from many women when they're in the range just generally shooting for practice. When a shell goes off, they flinch and they jerk. And what you're saying is focusing on it. It gets to the point where you and I have talked in the range when gunfire is going on and we don't bat an eyelash. It's as though it just goes right through us because we've eliminated. We focus so well on what we're doing, we don't even think about it. And that's when you get to that point, and it doesn't take that long to do it. It really doesn't. And the people there at Aaron's, they're so friendly. They're so willing to help. They're so willing to share what they've got, to teach you whatever they can. And I'm not going to brag. I'll boast, but I'm not going to brag. I've taught a lot of them. And so the training is consistent. Mm-hmm. You're not getting this off-the-wall stuff from, oh, well, Joe Blow over here says this, but Tom so-and-so says this. No, they're all saying the same thing.
That's right.
And it's duplicatable.
Well, that, and they're not putting you down. You know, as a woman, you go in there. There aren't that many women that go, and I'd like to see more women because I'm passionate about women learning their firearm and learning different firearms and which one fits them the best. But these folks are not intimidating, and they're very nice, and they're consistent. And that's, you know, as a woman, you know, you don't go in and be intimidated by these folks.
How could you get a wife involved, do you think? Because I tell you what a lot of problems are. I have co-ed classes, and I've had this multiple times where the married couple will come in and the wife sits there like a bump on a log because the husband has suppressed her in an honorable way, in the sense mm-hmm. that he really wants to help her, but because you're married to her, it ain't gonna happen, man. It just not. I become mm-hmm. the surrogate husband. They listen to me, and all you out there know what I'm talking about. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Your wife's not going to listen to you, but she's going to listen to me, and vice versa. It's just the way it works, okay? So what might be, do you think, Susan, a way to get the wife more involved? Any ideas?
I don't have a lot of...
Just suck it up, come on out, and check it out?
Well, yeah, I mean, you need to be your own person. You know, that's all I can say about that. You have to learn yourself these things. You know, nobody's going to teach them to you except for you. And so you have to decide that you want to be better at this and learn the safety and think of it more as a tool, not be afraid of it. It's just like a drill or anything that you use mm-hmm. as, you know, tools.
As a woman, what could you compare what you just said, practice, drill, tool, what could you compare that to outside of the gun world? So they could say, oh, is that what it's like? Would it be changing a tire? Would it be, I mean...
It would be like using a drill, you know, a drill or, you know...
Finding the right bit, knowing how to use a chuck key.
Yeah, going out and, you know, or whatever.
It's a task.
It is.
That's all it is. But the nice thing about it is you can make that task an enjoyable task, well, a lot of fun.
And I really do enjoy shooting. It's really fun. It's a release of energy, and I like to be good at it. And
it's an extension of you. That lead projectile goes where you tell it to go. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty fun. It's very empowering. It's fun. I enjoy the people that come to your shop mm-hmm. too, and the camaraderie and the, you know.
It's funny.
And I have learned a lot about guns when I go to the shop and just sit, because people will sit and talk about guns mm-hmm. and there's people that know so much about putting them together and how they work, and you know, you just soak it all in when you're sitting there listening to the folks that go on Fridays.
I think at the at Aaron's Gun Shop, I think what I've noticed is that the conversation is conversation of practicality. Mm-hmm. I was talking about in my opinion piece how people make Christmas trees out of their rifles, putting all this crap on it. at the gun shop, we're talking about, what does it take to hit the target? When do you hit the target? What reasons would you hit the target? How do you hit the target? What's the best way to hit the target? What happens if you have a malfunction trying to hit the target? It's common knowledge. It's not fluff. I hate mm-hmm. fluff. Fluff will get you killed. So... Mm-hmm. There's all these different factors. And, you know, a lot of people bring food sometimes. I've got food there. Some people bring food. It just depends what happens on the night. It's always a good night of camaraderie, friendship, shooting, mm-hmm. and so forth.
And learning. I'm always learning something. And I always want to learn something. Mm-hmm.
If somebody comes in and they say, hey, I've done this, this, and this, I say, great, I'm going to shut up. Tell me what you got. I want to learn. Show me something new. Because my training, what I've trained to people is, I'm 54. I'll be 55 in February. I've been shooting guns since I was four. Every bit of information I get from age four until now, I've compiled and made my own training ideologies. And my main purpose, my main ideology is duplication. It's cool if you can shoot a gun, you know, in the ghetto there, sideways. What do they call that, Trey?
Stupid.
Yeah, stupid. There's a name for it. I'm losing the name of it. But you do this stuff that, yeah, somebody's great at it, but can you do it? Can you teach somebody to do that? Everything I do is trainable, teachable, duplicatable. And that is the key to success. Because if you drop this one gun and you pick up another gun, because it's duplicatable, you can pick up the gun and use the same tactics and get the same results.
Let me add that Matt is also very good at taking you right where you are from the beginning. If you don't know anything about guns, then he can take you from there and make you an expert. Because he knows people and he knows where you are. He accepts that. And he accepts you as a, you know, as someone who wants to be there and learn, and he will teach you.
Right
from where you are.
Thank
from
you.
From the beginning.
I actually had somebody say it's very intimidating because I am one for perfection. I'm like, because we're not baking a cake. If you bake a cake and you burn it, you just make another one. But in the gun world, we have to, because when you pull that gun out, it's a life or death situation.
Right.
So I'm there to say, do this, adjust your finger there, adjust your finger. I'm not criticizing. I'm saying that's awesome. Let's get it even better. Because I know when the stuff hits the fan, those 10 fingers, ladies and gentlemen, turn into about three, because your adrenaline's pumping. You're getting an adrenaline dump. So if I can get you to shoot meticulously the same way every time in training, when you're freaking out in real life and the spread opens up, it's still a darn good shot. But if you're shooting like this, and I'm in, for radio people listening, I've got my hands much wider in a circle, and then that's your training, and then it comes real life, it gets really big. You're going to miss your target. But if we're training like this, and then all of a sudden you freak out a little bit and it opens up a little bit wider, you still got a great six-inch circle, self-defense shooting circle. That's great for stopping a threat. So that's why we do that, and we're always trying to push the envelope, you know?
That and safety. Safety's,
that's right.
You know, safety's always first. So, because it, you know.
I push the envelope. I push the envelope. I always push the envelope. Safety's there. Safety's there. Here's the envelope. And here's the letter in the envelope. It's about to come out. I'm right at the edge, man, because sometimes you just got to have that edge.
I know. I just took your flame away there. I'm sorry.
It's all right. No problem. All right, Susan, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
My name is Susan Connolly.
For painting and your photos.
I'm an artist. You can get me at SusanSturlblog.com. That you can see all my paintings from now, you know, from here on out, or whatever, from the back end, all, you know, from whatever I've done on.
Well, I'm impressed because you came in here in less than 2 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, she came in here, we're doing a radio show, and she's standing on the far side of the room here, and in less than 2 hours, she had a full portrait of me, and I got it hanging up on my shop wall now. It's pretty darn cool.
I also do photography, real estate photography, 254-239-4737. Give me a call. And I do other kinds of photography, family photography, too.
That sounds interesting. We'll have to check it out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts, probably throwing me against the wall or something. I don't know what she's going to do this time, but I'm like cat food to her. She just plays with me. Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, January 6, 2018. And with me now is Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts in Rockdale. Ms. Key, welcome to the show. What do you got for us today?
Well, today we're going to recap because Matt had a mishap
That's right. The videotape for last week didn't work. Something screwed up. So what we're going to do is a recap of what she said last week and then the fresh stuff for this week. So check it out.
Well, last week I talked about how to keep from somebody from getting a choke hold on you. So I used both my hands with the fingertips in upward position. I have my wrist and hand slightly bent. It kind of, if I had to explain, it's a wedge block. It's the back of my hand blocking his wrist. He can't bring his hands up. Bring your hands up. He can't get them up to get over.
I'm trying to lift my arms up towards her neck, but her hands are, her palms are facing down. The backs of her hands are pushing my arms down. I can't do it.
So from here, I have my striking positions. I mean, I have my leg for a groin shot if I want to.
No cup.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. But I'm gonna measure. And it doesn't matter if he has glasses on, because I'll rake the glasses and then I'll hit him, or I hit him in the throat first and then hit him here. But I like to go for the eye because that's one of the most painful places to get hit, and then the throat. So you have like two choices depending on how bats. He's got his chin down. He's got his chin down right now. So I'm going to hit him in the eye. Do you see how his head went up? His head went up. Then I'll hit him in the throat. Then I can have a knee turn and sidekick his knee and go that way.
It's a cat playing with her food.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, I'm not paying attention. He has the chokehold. Now, most people are like this, if they do this, it's even worse if they duck their chin because they're bringing the chokehold into them. But you still have your leg, so I would like, you know, if you're not trained, man, kick the knee, kick the groin, you know. But there is a way to loosen this so that you can get away. I'm going to bring my hand up like I'm yelling at the teacher, hey, I want to answer the question, but I'm going to have my hand to the side, not forward. So my arm is up, and what am I doing to your fingers?
You're crunching, yeah.
I'm bringing my jaw and my shoulder up, because I don't want this hand to go anywhere. I don't want him to pull away.
You're locking me in place.
I'm locking him in place, and then I turn.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to bring my elbow down.
Oh, that was good.
And then I can have my punches. I still have my throat strike. I have my finger strike. I have a solar plex punch. I have a knife hand to the side of the neck, and then I have a knee here.
I can get, I put my hand or so on
your
shoulder.
You're enjoying this. You're enjoying
it. I am enjoying this. I can come here and I'm going to just keep kneeing him.
You need to do that again because I totally felt how it broke from your neck. So I'm grabbing her. I'm doing a normal chokehold. Bam. She sweeps around. My hand is locked.
My jaw is pressing and my shoulder is coming in to lock his hand. And I just turn. I'm facing him now, but I'm going to turn.
That was the thing that was so noticeable, her turn. I just totally broke away from my grip.
Now from here, I come down and it moves his hands away from my face so that I have my striking.
Oh, jeez.
There he is.
Damn! That is so cool. Miss Key, tell everybody how they get a hold of you, what kind of specials you got, if any, and let them know how to get a hold of you.
Well, I extended my Christmas special for January because a few people asked me in December, but they're not going to be able to come till January. So I'm going to extend that. And it's $99 for a trial membership, which is 2 months, so the kid can see or you can see if you like the class. And go from there. My classes are normally $80 a month, so that's a pretty good deal. I'm also trying to get an adult class started. So if you're interested in being in an adult class, it would be at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Give me a call, because once I get 6 people signed up, I'll open that class up.
Ms. Key, I got to ask you a question. Would you, I may be putting you on your spot, but would you be willing or able to train a class on somebody if somebody's got a weapon on them? Instead of actually becoming a martial artist, maybe doing a special class on, hey, if somebody points a knife at you, or somebody's got a gun or a club, some basic scenarios that you